Wonderful. Let's come together for the word this morning. Imagine this. You're sitting at home enjoying a warm cup of chai in the evening. And your teenage daughter has gone down to buy some vada pav and she comes home. And you see that she's wearing an expensive gold nose ring costing 25,000 rupees. And she's got thick gold bangles costing more than a lakh of rupees on her wrists. And along with her come some strange men. And they come in a convoy of 10 expensive vehicles. And they come to you, the father, and they say, "We want your daughter's hand in marriage for our master's son. He's the only son and very wealthy." What would you do? Now, this is not a Hollywood or a Bollywood story, but a Bible story. It's a true story, and it's recorded in Genesis chapter 24. So let's turn to Genesis chapter 24. And the story speaks about Abraham, and it talks about Abraham sending out his servant, his trusted servant, to find a bride for his one and only son, Isaac, the son of the promise. And he sends Isaac, he sends the servant with specific instructions to find the bride. Okay, and that's what we're going to look at and unpack this evening. Just a couple of things on this chapter. First of all, Genesis 24 is a beautiful love story of how a bride is found for Isaac. Yeah, we people love love stories. But more than that, in the book of Genesis, 50 chapters, this is the longest chapter in Genesis, 67 verses. Now, can you imagine? God spoke about creation of the world in chapter 1 in just 31 verses, but he devotes 67 verses to this beautiful love story and how Isaac got his bride Rebekah. So let me just share the story with you. There are a lot of verses. We won't read all of them, but we'll refer to them. So it starts in verse 1, where it says, Abraham was now old and well advanced in years. Okay, the time has come, if you look at Genesis 23, where Sarah has died. And when Sarah died, Abraham was 127 years old. And that's what happened. And then in Genesis 24, we don't know how many years have passed since then. Commentators put Abraham's age as 140. Okay. And this is what happened. Abraham said, "Call the chief servant of his house," verse 2, "and the one who was in charge of all that Abraham had, and he said to him," he said, "listen, I want you to go and get a wife and go and find a wife for my son Isaac." Okay? And we'll just look at the story now. And you know, that's a tall order. How do you find a wife for a son? What kind of person are you looking for? And he says, "This is what I want you to do." And he gives him specific instructions. And we'll look at those instructions in a bit. And he says, "I want you to go back to where I came from in Haran and get a wife for my son from there." And he says, "I don't want you to get a wife from among the Canaanites where we are living right now in Canaan." That's in verse 3. But in verse 4, he says, "But go to my relatives and get a wife from there." And then the servant says, "You know, what if she's unwilling to come back and move, you know, those so many hundred miles and come and be here?" And then the servant asks, "Should I take your son back to Haran?" And Abraham says in verse 6, "Make sure you do not take my son back there." Okay. God had called Abraham out of Haran into Canaan and had promised him great things in Genesis chapter 12. And Abraham says, don't take my son back to Haran. Okay. And then he says this. He says, "The Lord, the God of heaven." See now, Abraham is called the friend of God. He's called him the father of faith and the father of the faithful. And he says, "The Lord, the God of heaven, who brought me out of my father's household and my native land, and who spoke to me and who promised me on oath, I will give to your offspring, I'll give you this land." He says, "He will send his angel before you so that you can get a wife for my son from there." All right, so that's the story. And then the story proceeds where the servant takes 10 camels. Now, just for us to know that, you know, I don't think any of us, anybody here own a camel? No, we don't own camels. But in those days, camels were the equivalent of a Mercedes-Benz. They were very expensive. People had goats and sheep. But to own a camel showed you were very wealthy. And Abraham had a multitude of camels. This 10 was just a small part of his great wealth. And so in verse 10 of chapter 24, it says, Abraham, the servant, took 10 of his master's camels and left with all the gifts that he took about. And then the story goes, this is what happens. He reaches this place. He reaches Haran and he stops by at the watering hole, the well where the women came to draw water from. And this was in the evening. And we see that the servant is again a prayerful man. He prays, Lord, show me, how do I select all these young ladies coming here to draw water? Which one is the right one for Isaac, my master's son? And he said, and he did this. And he said, this is what I'll do. I'll ask them for some water to drink. And he says, if they give me water to drink, and not only me, but this girl offers to water my 10 camels, then I know that this is the one you have prepared for me. So we see that the servant was a man of faith. He was a man of prayer. In verse 15, he says, before he finished praying, Rebecca came out with a jar on her shoulder. Rebecca comes and the servant said, please, will you give me some water from your jar? And in verse 18, Rebecca lowers the water. She gives him water to drink. And she said, listen, in verse 19, I'll draw water for your camels as well until they have finished drinking. Now, you know, you got to really admire Rebecca here. Camels don't drink as much water as humans. You know that. They drink much, much more. One camel, after a long journey, can drink 160 liters of water. Wow. 10 camels, that's 1,600 liters of water. So that was a lot of work to do for a stranger. But here we see the heart of Rebecca, willing to serve, humbling herself. Okay. When the camels had finished drinking, the servant knew this was the girl. And this is what he did. And he asked to stay at her house. And he puts the nose ring on her. He puts the bracelets, expensive bracelets. That is the worth. Huh? In today's gold prices, that nose ring was 25,000 rupees. The two bracelets were over 50,000 rupees each. Okay. And the man finds out that this girl is actually the grandniece of Abraham. Wow. That's what he is. And the girl runs home, Rebecca runs home and tells her father, Bethuel, her brother, Laban, look, this is what it is. And Laban, we will see him in the future, not in this message, but as he was a man after money. We see that here in verse 30. As soon as he saw the nose ring and the bracelets, Laban's eyes went up. Wow, some rich people. This is what's happening. And he welcomes these strangers in. Okay, continuing with the story, you know, the man, the servant says, listen, I've got to tell you something. Even before we eat, this is what I want to tell you. My master has sent me to bring a wife. This is what I prayed to the Lord, and the Lord gave me success. Your daughter, Rebecca, is the one the Lord has led me to. Okay? Will you give her to my master's son in marriage? That's what he said. And then Rebecca agrees to this. The people ask her father and brothers, Rebecca, what do you think? And she says, yes, they agree to the marriage. And he gives them even more gifts. And then the next day, the servant, so they eat and rest. And the next day, the servant says, let's go back. I want to go. And Laban and Bethuel say, listen, let us stay here 10 more days. You know, let us enjoy with the family and friends and celebrate and then go back. But the servant says, no, I've come a long way. I want to finish this off. And they say, let's ask Rebecca. And that's what Rebecca does. Rebecca says, yes, send me on my, you know. Then they said, let's ask Rebecca. And so in verse 58, so they called Rebecca and asked her, will you go with this man? I will go, she said. Rebecca didn't wait for another 10 days. She said, no, I'm ready to go now. Wow, what a woman of faith she is. You know? And she went along with a nurse and everything else. And at the end of the story, as they travel and reach Canaan, Isaac is in the field and he is praying, he's meditating, and he sees this his convoy coming. And this is what happens. Okay, the servant brings Rebecca to Isaac. Wow. And before he does that even, and he says, I mean, after doing that, he gives an account of everything that have happened. Verse 66. Then the servant told Isaac all he had done. And then Rebecca marries Isaac. Wow. And they get married. And that's the end of chapter 24. Wow. Now, this is a beautiful love story. Isn't it wonderful? And let's pray and ask God to speak to our hearts through this story, shall we? Father, we thank you for this wonderful, beautiful love story of Isaac and Rebecca and how you brought them together. Lord, would you speak to our hearts this morning, Lord? Oh, Lord, show us your truths. Help us to see what you have in store for us. May your anointing be upon me as I proclaim your truth. Open our minds and our ears. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, we can read these stories and we can say, wow, that's a lovely story, and move on to chapter 25. But we need to realize that there is deeper meaning in that story. Okay, because everything in the Bible points to Christ. So when we read these stories, we've got to say, what does this story or this narrative tell me about God the Father? What does it tell me about Jesus, our Savior? What does it tell me about the Holy Spirit? You see, on the road to Emmaus, when Jesus rose from the dead and the two disciples met him in Luke chapter 24, verse 27, Jesus explained the scriptures to these two disciples. And in Luke 24, verse 27, it says, "And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." So Jesus himself took the Old Testament and he explained to these two disciples, he said, "Can you see this? It's talking about me. Can you see this? It's talking about my crucifixion. Can you see this? It's talking about my Father." Okay? So the Old Testament contains much. On every page of the Old Testament, we can see something about Christ if we have the eyes to see. Okay, so we're going to look at this story and say, well, what do we see about God, about Christ? And then also when we read a story, we've got to see, where do we see ourselves in that story? Okay, so two things. One, where do we see Christ? Where do we see the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit? Where do we see ourselves in that story? Okay, so let's look at this. So back to Genesis 24, and I've pulled out three titles for us. The first one is the faith of Abraham. The faith of Abraham. Now, we know that Abraham has been called the friend of God. Three times in scripture, Abraham is called friend of God. James 2:23 is one of those. He's also called the father of the faithful. Can you imagine the faith of Abraham? Abraham was a man of great faith. When God first called him out of Ur and then out of Haran, and God said in Genesis 12, leave your father, leave your household, leave your country and come to this new place. And he heard God, he believed God, and he followed. He was a man of faith. Even in the birth of Isaac, Abraham was 100 years old. His wife was old and barren, but God said, listen, I'm going to give you a son from your own body through Sarah, although you are old, and your descendants will be as many as the stars in the sky and the sand on the sea. And Abraham believed God, man of faith, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Wow. And then after the miracle son was born, Isaac was born, God said, take your son, your one and only son, take him up to Mount Moriah, and I want you to sacrifice him. Abraham didn't pray about it. The scripture says, early the next morning, he got up, And he went along with Isaac and his servants and the wood. Wow, man of faith. And he was ready to sacrifice Isaac because he believed that it was a miracle baby that he had. And even if he sacrificed Isaac, God could raise him up to life. But we know God said, no, don't sacrifice Isaac. Provided a ram. Okay, so we see Abraham's great faith. And now here Sarah has died. And the promise is given to Abraham in Genesis 12 is, I will make your name great. I will bless you. Abraham was blessed beyond measure. He was rich. But then the other blessing was, your descendants will be as many as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. Okay, that needed to be fulfilled. And that could only, and you will be a blessing to all nations. But for that to be fulfilled, he needed to have a son through Isaac. But the problem was Isaac was not yet married. So this is what Abraham does. In Genesis 24, he calls his servant, his chief servant, who had served him for many, many years, one of the oldest servant and the chief servant who was in charge of all that Abraham had. And he told him, I want you to search for a wife for my son. Now he gives him three things. He says, this is what I want you to do. He says, don't get a wife from among the Canaanites in the land. And this is an important lesson for us. The Canaanites in the land, the Amorites and all those who lived, worshipped idols, and they were not worshippers of the true God. And in the years to come, they would grow in their wickedness and evil. Just as Sodom and Gomorrah were judged by God, this land was also going to be judged by God. Okay, so that was it. So he said, don't get a wife. He said, but go to my own family in Haran and get a wife from there. Now, what we've got to realize is who we choose as a wife or a husband is so, so important. Okay? It's so important because our future depends on it. Okay? This is what it is. Our future, our full, the rest of our lives, the rest of our life depends upon our wife, our life. So who we choose as our wife is so important. The Bible is very clear. If you are single this morning, the Bible is clear that in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, do not be unequally yoked. In 1 Corinthians, it talks about choosing only a believer as your husband or as your wife. Okay, Abraham was a man of faith. He believed that God would provide the right wife for his son because the future of the blessing that God had promised him was dependent on that. Okay, because through Isaac's children and seed would come the promised Messiah. Okay? Who you marry is so, so important. Okay, let me give you an example. You know, when you go, the person you marry can either be a springboard for you who will propel you into the purposes of God, or that person can be a ball and chain tied to you who will hinder you from moving on in the purposes of God. So it requires an act of faith, believing that God, it would have been so much easier to choose from among the women in the land. You know, you don't have to travel, you don't have to go far, you can see them around. But Abraham said, no, I want you to go back to my family, choose somebody from there. Let's move. So we see Abraham was a man of faith. He believed that God would provide the right person. Now, where do we see the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in this? Very simple. Abraham, the father, was looking to get a bride for his son, one and only son, Isaac. Does that sound familiar? The Father in heaven is looking for a bride for his beloved son, Jesus. Wow, isn't that amazing? You see the parallels there, okay? And that is what it is. You see, all of history, all that is happening, right, with presidents coming up, prime ministers, countries, all of history is moving towards one climax. And you know what that climax is? That climax is the end of time. It is a marriage feast of the Lamb, where Jesus and his bride, the church, will come together. That's what history is moving towards. And during this time, This is what God is doing. The father, like Abraham, is obtaining a bride for his beloved son, Jesus. Do you see the parallels there? If you are a believer this morning, you are part of that bride. Wonderful. It's a great privilege because we will be there forever and ever married to Jesus. Okay, and that's what's written in Ephesians 5, 22, 23, talks about Christ loved the church. You know, he's the husband, we're the bride, that's what it is. Okay, and he's preparing us as a spotless bride for himself. So we see that the father is looking for a bride in the same way Abraham was looking for a bride for his son. Secondly, we look at not just the faith of Abraham, but we look at the faithfulness of the servant. And we look at the faithfulness of the servant. And this servant was the oldest servant that Abraham had. He was in charge of Abraham's immense wealth, all his camels and donkeys and gold and silver and sheep and goats and land. And he was entrusted with this delicate matter of finding a bride for Abraham's son. And so this man was a faithful servant. He had served Abraham for many years. Okay? And he was a man of, we look at two things, or more than two things. He was a man of obedience. Abraham gave him this command and he said, yes, look at this in verse 10. Then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and left. It was quick obedience. Now, the journey was a long journey. The distance was about 500 miles or so. So it was a long journey that he had to go and come. But he was willing to sacrifice. He was willing to travel to find. How many of you have ever sat on a camel? Can you imagine traveling 500 miles on a camel? Oh my. You know, you got to take something for seasickness. That's what it is, you know. But he was willing to sacrifice and to go. Not only was he a man of sacrifice and servanthood, but he was a spiritual man. We see here that he prayed. Look at verse 12, you know. Verse 12. Then he prayed, O Lord, God of my master Abraham. So he was a spiritual man. Not only did he pray, but later on, when he found Rebecca, you know, he worshipped. Okay? He worshipped. And then he was faithful to Abraham. At least 17 times in this chapter, he refers to Abraham as my master, my master, my master, my master. He was a good communicator. He was able to communicate all that Abraham had said to Laban and Bethuel. Okay? He was a man of priorities. Now they've come from a long journey. The camels have drunk water. They're sitting down for the meal. And this is what he said. Verse 33. Then the food was set before him, but he said, I will not eat until I tell you what I have to say. So he knew his priorities. He said, listen, before we enjoy this great feast, there's something I've got to say. And he talks about Abraham's quest for a bride for his son. Then, of course, we see that he relied on the Lord for guidance. You know, he set out a fleece like Gideon did. He said, Lord, if that woman says, I'll draw water for your camels as well, that's the woman. Okay? And then we look at verse 48. You know, he praised the Lord. Look at verse 40, a little bit. Then I put the ring in her nose, that's at 47, and the bracelets on her arms, and I bowed down and worship the Lord. I praise the Lord, the God of my master Abraham. So he's attributing his success to God. He was a spiritual man. And then at the end of it, when he delivered the bride to Isaac, look at verse 66. Then the servant told Isaac all he had done. He gave an account of his work, and he was accountable. Okay? Now, we see that in Abraham, we see God the Father looking for a bride. Who is the servant? Okay? Now, really, If you are a believer this morning, you can put yourself in the place of the servant. This is what it is. The Father has entrusted you with the task of finding a bride for His Son, Jesus. We have been given the Great Commission to go into all the world and to preach the gospel and make disciples of all nations. You are that servant this morning. I am that servant this morning. And we've been entrusted with this most important and most delicate task of finding a bride for Jesus. The only difference here is that the bride is not one person, but a multitude of people from every nation, from every language, from every tribe. So all of us have to be involved in this great mission. Now this servant, he's anonymous. We don't know his name. We know Abraham, we know Isaac, we know Rebecca, we know Laban, we know Bethuel, but we don't know the name of this servant. He was faithful. He accomplished the task, a most important task. Okay, he played a key role in Isaac finding a wife. And through that, the promises of God, the covenant promises of God were fulfilled through Isaac and Rebecca having a son, Jacob. And through Jacob, the nation of Israel, and through the nation of Israel, the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, we have that same task. Okay, just as Abraham entrusted that servant with that role and that responsibility, you and I have been entrusted with the same responsibility by our Father. Will we go and preach the gospel so that we can get a bride for Jesus? In Matthew chapter 24, verse 14, Jesus says, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come." So Jesus says, when is the, you know, people ask, when is the world going to end? Is it ending now? When is the world going to end? I'll tell you when it will end. It will end when the gospel is preached to every people group in every nation of the world. There are thousands of people groups that have never heard of Jesus. And you know why Satan opposes the preaching of the gospel? For this very reason, because he knows when the gospel is preached to every people group, Jesus will come. And that's why, that's one of the reasons there is so much opposition to the preaching of the gospel. But we can encourage ourselves. Look at Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. We can encourage ourselves knowing that this day will come. Revelation chapter 7 verse 9 says, "After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb." We know that one day this will be accomplished. Jesus will return and we will be with Him forever and ever. So this morning, you and I are like that chief servant, entrusted with this important task of proclaiming the gospel. Will we be faithful like that servant? Will we be obedient? Will we be sacrificial? You know, just to let you know, traveling from Canaan to Haran and back again on a camel was no easy task. Some of them walked, others sat on the camels. Okay, it would take 2 months to go and come. The servant was faithful. We see more about the servant's faithfulness. The servant did not talk about himself when he spoke to Rebekah's family. In Genesis chapter 24, this is what he says. He says in verse 34, so he said, "I am Abraham's servant. The Lord has blessed my master abundantly and he has become wealthy. He has given him sheep and cattle and silver and gold and men servants and maid servants and camels and donkeys. My master's wife Sarah has borne him a son in her old age, and he has given him everything he owns." So he's talking about Isaac, saying Isaac has inherited everything. "And my master made me swear an oath and said, 'You must not get a wife for my son from among the daughters of the Canaanites in whose land I live, but go to my own father's family and to my own clan and get a wife for my son.'" Okay, so you see that? He's not talking about him drawing attention to himself. He's talking about the glories, the wealth of his master and the son. And that's what we are called to do. We're called to go and proclaim the glories of Christ, the glories of the Father to people, and to tell them he's a loving Father. He's a sacrificial Savior who died on the cross for your sins. Will you put your trust in him? Will you accept him as your Savior this day? That is what, will you believe that he died on the cross and he rose from the dead? That is our job as the servant of the Lord. Right? Let's move on now and look at Rebecca. And we look at the favor and the faith of Rebecca. So we've seen the faith of Abraham, we've seen the faithfulness of the servant, and now we look at the favor and faith of Rebecca. Now, here is Rebecca. Well, what was she like? And we see here in chapter 24, that's where we are, and it says here that verse 15, let's read from verse 15. Before he had finished praying, Rebecca came out with her jar on her shoulder. She was the daughter of Bethuel, son of Milcah, who was the wife of Abraham's brother Nahor. The girl was very beautiful, a virgin. No man had ever lain with her. She went down to the spring, filled her jar, and came up again. So we see Rebecca, physically she was beautiful. We see a little bit, you know, it talks about her being a virgin, and that he speaks about holiness there. And she was hardworking. She was willing to go, you know, put the jar, fill in water, draw it out again in the spring. Okay. And what was her attitude? A stranger comes up to her and says, "May I have a drink of water?" Look what she says. Verse 18. "Drink, my Lord," she said, and quickly lowered the jar to her hands and gave him a drink. And then she didn't wait to be asked to water the camels. And she after she had given him a drink, she said, "I'll draw water for your camels too until they have finished drinking." Now, I spoke earlier, one camel drank 160 liters of water after a long journey. So there was, you know, over 1,000 liters of water. That's lots of buckets. But she was willing to serve. Now think about this. Her humility, her willingness to serve, changed her eternal destiny. From being a nobody, she became the wife of Isaac, became the mother of Jacob, through whom the whole nation of Israel came into being. How did it happen? Simple, offering herself for service, for humble service. That's what it was. So we see that the favor of God was upon Rebecca. Okay, she was a woman of faith, because, you know, she brought those men to her father's house. That's what she did. And then the whole story was told. And then they asked her, you know, in verse 50, Laban and Bethuel answered, "This is from the Lord. We can say nothing to you one way or the other. Here is Rebecca. Take her and go. Let her become the wife of your master's son as the Lord has directed." Okay? And then after agreeing to everything, the father and the brother say, "But let her stay with us for 10 more days. Okay, verse 55. But her brother and her mother replied, mother rather, not the father, "Let the girl remain with us 10 days or so, then you may go." But the servant said, "Do not detain me. Now that the Lord has granted success to my journey, send me on my way so that I may go to my master." Then they said, "Let's call the girl and ask her about it." So they called Rebecca and asked her, "Will you go with this man?" Now just think about it. Rebecca does not know these men from Adam. Okay? All she knows and all she's heard is what this man has said. The gifts he has given, that's all she knows. It's not that they've spent a period of time to know whether these men are trustworthy or not. So they called Rebecca and asked her, "Will you go with this man?" And she says, "I will go." Wow, that is faith. You know, she believed what that man said about Isaac and about Abraham. And she was willing to go. And because she put her faith in what was said, she was blessed beyond measure. She was in the lineage of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. So as we look at Rebecca, so how do we see ourselves in the story? This morning, if you have not yet put your faith in Jesus, if you have not yet 100% trusted in Jesus only for your salvation, this is the day of salvation. We don't know what will happen tomorrow. Rebecca didn't wait for tomorrow. She said, I will go. Okay, so if there's anybody here this morning who's sitting on the fence, standing at the border, okay, I want to urge you to cross over this morning. Will you put your faith in Jesus? He loves you. He's died on the cross for our sins. He's offering us the gift of salvation. Nobody else has offered us that. Just by putting your faith and your trust in Him. And when you do that, you are becoming the bride, part of the bride of Christ. Wow, what a great privilege it is. All that the Father has given the Son, the great inheritance, is going to be yours. Wow. Blessings in heaven that are beyond our understanding. You know, when Paul was asked about heaven, Paul was taken up to the third heaven. He says, I have seen things that I'm not permitted to speak about. They're so great. When Jesus was asked about heaven, he said, I'm telling you about earthly things and you don't believe me. How then will you believe me if I tell you about heavenly things? But just to throw in a little bit, you know, the servant spoke to Rebecca and to the family about the riches and the wealth of Isaac and of Abraham. And here I want to just speak to you a little bit about the greatness of heaven. It says this in Revelation chapter 21, verse 2. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for a husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and He will be with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I'm making everything new. Wow. Friends, heaven is a glorious, a beautiful place where we will be with Jesus forever and ever. Today is the day of salvation. If you've not yet put your trust in Jesus, may I urge you this morning to say, Lord, I repent. I turn away from all my sins. I believe in you and you alone as the only God. You are the only one who died on the cross and rose from the dead. I trust in you for my salvation. Will you do that? Like Rebecca, make that decision today. Okay. So we've come to the end of this message. Yeah? A beautiful love story, but it's got much more to it than just a story about two people getting married. We have the Father looking for a bride for His one and only Son. Okay. We've got the servant who is on a quest to find a bride for his master's son. That's you and that's me. And we've got Rebecca, favor of God upon her, and we see her faith in trusting what the servant said and changing her eternal destiny. Shall we pray this morning? Lord, we thank you for your word. It's living, it's active. Lord, thank you that your word brings life. Lord, I pray for each one who's listening to this message, Lord, that you would apply this message to our hearts, that we would obey it in whichever way we need to obey, Lord. Oh, we need your grace and your Holy Spirit to proclaim your glories, that people who don't know you may come to faith and be part of the eternal bride of Christ. Well, I pray for those who are maybe still not sure and on the fence, that you would touch their hearts, that they would 100% turn to you and put their faith in you. Thank you for this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you so much, Colin, for sharing such a powerful sermon. It was rich and anointed. Thank you for reminding us about being faithful and reminding us of the commission that we have to go out and reach out to people. Thank you so much, Colin.
Amen.
So now we're going to break into groups of three. We're going to break